today on The King is Coming.
And here's the spiritual principle here. The spiritual principle is that when God gives His truth and we receive it, then we understand, we see, we know, we hear, and we grow. But when we hear God's word and we do not receive it, we do not allow God's word to have its intended effect on our lives, you know what happens? We end up being hard-hearted. Did you know that Jesus Christ told stories about the end times? That's next on The King is Coming.
What if the greatest event in human history was also the key to understanding our future? Join Jeff Kinley in The Resurrection and Return series, a powerful 7-part journey exploring the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the undeniable evidence behind it, and what it reveals about His soon return. Prophecy, proof, promise. The King is risen and the King is coming. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $45 or more. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com and get your copy today.
We're beginning a brand new series here on The King is Coming called The Parables of the Apocalypse. These are stories that Jesus Christ told in the last week of His life to His disciples that not only described life in the end times, but also how they should respond, and more importantly, how they should prepare themselves during those times. You know, Jesus Christ came to reveal God the Father. And there are many discourses, many sermons that Christ gave. We have the Olivet Discourse, which we'll be looking at here in this series. We have the Upper Room Discourse. And then we have what's called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus Christ. This is actually the real Lord's Prayer. This is the one that the Lord prayed, and He prayed it in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when we look at this prayer, it's found in John chapter 17. We find that Jesus Christ says in verse 6, He's speaking to the Father now. He says, "I manifested Your name to the men You gave Me out of the world. Thine they were, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word." You see, Christ came to describe, to manifest, to exegete, if you will, the Father to His disciples. He came to show us what God is like. And later on in this prayer, He's praying about their relationship with the Word of God. And He says in verse 17, He says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy Word is truth." Now, what is Christ talking about there? Well, what He's saying is that the disciples, if they would live on the words that Jesus gave them about the Father, live on the words of truth, and we'll see those words all throughout this series on the parables of the apocalypse, that if they live on these words, then they will be sanctified or set apart. And to be sanctified or set apart means that God has a very special purpose for us. It means He's making us into the image and into the conformity of the character of Jesus Christ. As Romans 8:29 tells us, that God has already designed that we become like His Son. And that's one of the things the Word does, but it also separates us from the values of the world. In fact, in the previous verse here, He says in verse 15 to 16, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one." Now listen, when we're walking in the world, God doesn't want us to separate from the world in terms of going away from the world. He doesn't want us to go into some retreat center and hole up on a mountain somewhere and just wait for Christ to come back. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And one of the key ways that we do that, we accomplish that, is by being sanctified in the truth of God's Word. Because as Jesus said here, "Thy Word is truth." And so that's what we're doing now in The King is Coming. We're talking about God's truth as spoken through Jesus during His last week of ministry. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. And we want to talk about more specifically, what is this thing called a parable? We've all heard about the parables of Jesus Christ. We could describe a parable this way, is that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, it's a fictional portrayal of something, but it has a spiritual truth behind it. We might call these things illustrations today, or a fictional story that would support a point of truth. Well, that's what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we know in the Gospels that Jesus told many parables. In fact, in the book of Matthew, through Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are some 30 different parables that Christ told, depending on how you categorize them. And if you take the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, it's estimated that there are as many as 100 from to 250 parables that have been told throughout Scripture. Again, it depends on how you categorize it. Now, the Greek word parable comes from two words, so it's a compound word. The first word is the word para, which means to come alongside, and the other one is the word balo, which means to cast. So when you put those two words together, basically a parable is a teaching aid that is cast alongside a truth to help support that truth, to help illustrate that truth, or to help cast additional light on that truth. You know, people today, even today, love stories. Fiction novels are runaway bestsellers. When pastors tell sermons, sometimes his story, people like the story more than they do the scripture sometimes. So we have to be careful about that. But the purpose of a parable and the purpose of an illustration is to support a greater truth that God is trying to communicate. And so Jesus told many, many stories, many, many truths through parables. Now, he taught about a variety of topics in his parables, including the millennial kingdom and prayer. Jesus talked about the Word of God in the parable of the sower and the soils. He talked about hell in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. He talked about humility in the parable of the righteous man and the tax gatherer who beat his chest and said, God, I'm not worthy. He talked about Israel, and he talked about forgiveness. So many different topics that Christ told in his parables. But in this parable, we're going to see in the next time on The King is Coming, Jesus launches into the apocalypse. But we have to stop and ask a question, first of all. Why did Jesus, of all the ways he could have taught about God, why did he teach in parables? Now, obviously, parables weren't the only way he demonstrated who God was. Jesus modeled who God was in his character. He modeled through his witness and through his words. He modeled through his actions. I mean, Jesus Christ did many miracles that authenticated the fact that he was God in human flesh. But parables were another way that he used in his ministry. So why didn't Christ just teach everybody directly? I mean, why didn't he just say, all right, here's the direct truth. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. Well, one of the reasons was because these parables, again, illustrated the truth and supported the truth. But over in Matthew chapter 13, we have Jesus' own explanation as to why he used these parables. And we see in Matthew 13, beginning in verse 9. Now, he had just told the parable of the sower and the soils. You know that parable there where Jesus talks about the sower went out to sow and he spreads the seed. Some falls on rocky ground, other falls on ground that has thorns in it, other falls on shallow ground, others seed bears life. But he says in verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, this is a very important phrase that we're going to see here in just a moment that really gives a clue as to how people would understand the parables and how they could interpret the parables. In verse 10, he says this, the disciples came to him and they said, why do you speak to them in parables? In other words, Christ was, when he was with the crowds, he would use these parables. And so the disciples were confused about that. They said, Jesus, why are you speaking in these cryptic parables? Well, Christ tells us the answer to why he does that when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor. Anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So why did Jesus talk in parables? Well, we look at Matthew chapter 13, and his disciples had just asked him that question, why do you speak in parables? And he answered and said to them, verse 11, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this gives us some critical intel into Christ's relationship with the 12 disciples. You see, Jesus was forming his small group of disciples. They weren't just disciples, though. They would later become the 12 apostles, the 12 pillars that support the church. And so these disciples were given the inside scoop, if you will, on the truth, because they later would be the ones that would teach the truth to the church. And they would be the ones that later would write the scriptures, much of the scriptures in the New Testament. He says, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. So the natural question becomes, why not? Why don't you want to give everybody the same truth that you're giving your disciples? I mean, what's going on here, Christ? Well, to understand the answer to that, we have to get into the culture and to the context of what's going on here. You see, Jesus Christ had come to give himself to the Jewish people. He had come to present the kingdom to the Jewish people and offer them the kingdom that they had been longing for and praying for centuries. And when he came on the scene, the Bible says in John 1:11, it says he came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. But when Christ came, he was not largely welcomed by the Jewish community. He was not at all welcomed by the Jewish leadership. In fact, over in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, there's a scene over there that's one of the most dramatic scenes in the New Testament. Jesus Christ had been speaking things. In verse 38, says, I speak the things that I have seen with my Father. And they answered him and said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus says, you're seeking to kill me, proving you don't really know the truth. And Christ got into this back and forth with the Pharisees. He says in verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. Now that's a bold claim, isn't it? So Christ is ramping up his claim, saying, look, if you want to know who God is, you better look at me. You better listen to me. You better watch me. You better follow me. And he says, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I've not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. And he says, you, on the other hand, you're coming from your father, the father of lies, who is the devil. And so Christ didn't shrink back. He boldly came into that authoritative world, that culture, and he challenged them. Well, later on in verse 48, it says, the Jews answered and said to them, did we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and that you have a demon? So the Pharisees claimed that Jesus Christ was demon-possessed. You can't go any further than that in blaspheming the Lord. Later on, Jesus says that I'm here to glorify the Father. You're here to glorify yourself. He says, you don't know the Father and you don't keep his word. And he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, this is where it gets really tense. He says, Abraham looked forward in time and saw the day of the Messiah. And it says he was glad. The Jews therefore answered, this is verse 57, answered him and said, you're not yet 50 years old and you say you've seen Abraham? And then Jesus laid down the ace card here. He says this in verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. I am." In the Greek, that's ego a me. And when he said those words to those Jewish leaders, they knew exactly what he was claiming. Jesus Christ was claiming to be the great I am of the Old Testament. Like when Moses stood before God on holy ground and he said, "Who shall I say has sent me?" He said, "You tell him I am that I am has sent you." It's where we get the word Yahweh or the word Jehovah. Jesus was saying, "I am Yahweh." And how do we know he was claiming to be that? How come the Jews just didn't say, "Well, we don't know who you are"? No, the very next verse tells us. It says, "Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him." Why? For blasphemy. And because that was the penalty for blasphemy. So all that to say is that the Jewish leadership rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, back to Matthew 13, and this ties into all of what we need to know to understand these parables. He says, "For whoever," in verse 12, "has, to him shall more be given, and he'll have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." He's speaking to the Jewish people. He says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, and they do not understand." And then he quotes Isaiah. And he says this. He says, "The prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says this. It says, 'You shall keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes." This is all Isaiah chapter 6 here. He says, "And lest they should hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and I should come and heal them." Now, what is Jesus doing here? Well, what Christ is doing is he is uncovering the spiritual state of the Jewish nation of Israel. And because the Pharisees had so corrupted, with the Sadducees, so corrupted the law of Moses, they had added over 630 or 640 extra commandments. They had put the people under bondage. They had taught them their own statutes as the laws of God. And so by the time Christ shows up, this is just something that has gone way downhill in terms of the Jewish faith. And because of that, they were not receiving the truth that Jesus Christ was trying to give them. And so it seems as though he continued to just simply talk in parables and not give them the straight truth, because that was a punishment, a penalty, a discipline on the Jewish people for rejecting the truth of God. So this spiritual blindness, as we just read about, has really set in. We see this same principle in the New Testament as well. In fact, the Apostle Paul talks about spiritual blindness and hard hearts, and we'll talk more about that when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So the Apostle Paul echoes what Christ says in Matthew 13 about you keep hearing, but you can't hear, you keep seeing, but you can't see, you don't understand. Paul's talking here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. He's talking about certain people that seem to always be surrounded by the truth, but they just never get it. And he describes them this way. He says, always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. It's like they're always accumulating knowledge. They think they have little tidbits and facts and little interesting little factoids and stories and stuff, and they can quote things, but do they really understand? He says, no, they're always accumulating knowledge, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth there. And here's the spiritual principle here. The spiritual principle is is that when God gives His truth and we receive it, then we understand, we see, we know, we hear, and we grow. But when we hear God's word and we do not receive it, we do not allow God's word to have its intended effect on our lives, you know what happens? We end up being hard-hearted. And here's the deception that creeps in. Instead of having a willingness to listen and learn, to receive, to believe, to submit to God and obey, we fall under the delusion and the deception that we think we know what we're talking about, but God says, you don't understand anything. You're conceited and understand nothing. That's how Paul described false teachers. And so this is what's going on. That's the spiritual principle, that when we hear God's word, we must receive it. And so Jesus' teachings, and specifically here his parables, were a part of his presentation of himself to the Jewish people that he was their Messiah. Their job was to receive, to hear, to listen, and to obey. And of course, Christ authenticated his words by doing miracles, by feeding the 5,000, by healing the leper, by raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus did so many miracles and so many signs and wonders that John says at the end of John's gospel, he says, look, if I were to tell you everything that Christ did, we couldn't fit it in this book. In fact, I don't think all the libraries in the world could hold it. And so Christ did many things to authenticate. So it wasn't just his words. They had other opportunities to say, wait a minute, maybe because of this miracle over here, his words are also true. But the Bible says that that they did not receive him. In fact, one of the other ways that Christ did this, real quickly before we finish out here, is in Luke chapter 4, Christ is in the synagogue, and he is reading from the scroll. He begins teaching in the synagogue. This is in Nazareth, by the way. He stands up to read. He opens the book of Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim a release to the captives, recovery of the sight to the blind, to set those who are downtrodden free, to proclaim the favorable day of the Lord. Then he closes the book, and it says he sits down, and everyone's staring at him. Like, what in the world did we just hear? And Jesus then said to the whole group, he said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus Christ gave a tangible example of fulfilled Bible prophecy by reading the very scripture that talks about him. So these were further evidences, but again, the Jewish people kept rejecting that. Now, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that God values a teachable spirit. God loves for us to be teachable. Sometimes we can have kind of hard hearts. We can have sin in our lives. We can just be lethargic and mediocre and lukewarm. We're like, yeah, I'm just not that interested right now. Guess what? God says, look, it's time for you to listen up, to wake up, to stand up, and to engage my truth. And there's so many scriptures that tell us about why God values a teachable spirit. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, that's guidance from the Word of God, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there's victory. In other words, if you listen, are you listening? That's what God is trying to say. In Proverbs 12, verse 15 says this, says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to counsel. And there's so many scriptures that talk about the idea of having an unteachable spirit. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. In other words, if we follow our own counsel, we're going to end up in death. But if we trust in the Lord, we'll end up with life. On the flip side of that, God loves a teachable spirit. In fact, Psalm 86, verse 11 says this. It says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. You see, God wants us to reach out to him and say, God, my ears are open. My eyes are open. My mind and my heart is also, they're also open as well. And God loves it when we do that. And listen, that's what he found with the disciples. The Bible tells us over and over again that if we have a teachable spirit, that God will guide us, God will lead us. I love Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we might present a heart of wisdom to you. How does that happen? It happens through listening. How about Psalm 119, verse 33 says this, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe them until the end. And we know this, that Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that in the last days that people are going to depart from the truth. They're going to pay attention to these ear-tickling preachers and gather for themselves people that will just tell them what they want to hear. In other words, their ears are closed to every other voice but themselves. But Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, no, you preach the word. You keep on doing it in season and out of season, when it's popular, when it's not popular, you keep on preaching the truth. Why? Because I want my people to always have a teachable spirit. And when we have a teachable spirit, then God can do something in our lives. Psalm 25 verse 4 says this. I love this. This is a great prayer to pray as we close. It says, make known your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Isn't that a great prayer? This is the prayer the Jewish people were not praying in Jesus' day. It's the prayer that the Jewish leaders did not have on their hearts. They had already made up their minds. They had a closed door in their hearts. And praying something like this, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. So let's ask God to teach us through this series called The Parables of the Apocalypse. Let's ask Him to give us open minds and open hearts. Let's ask the Lord to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? How can I hear what you're saying so that I can apply that to my life right now? And as we'll see, some of Jesus' parables will bring great hope. Others will bring great warning. So stay tuned for this series called The Parables of the Apocalypse right here on The King is Coming. God bless. Hi, I'm Jeff Kinley. We've been talking about on The King is Coming this man named Noah, and as it was in the days of Noah. Well, that's based upon a book that I wrote a few years ago called As It Was in the Days of Noah, Warnings from the Bible about the Coming Global Storm. And in this book, we talk about how the days that Noah experienced are the days that we're experiencing right now and how we can navigate those difficult times. I think this is a very relevant message for the world today. And it was when the book came out originally in 2014. It immediately went to number one, became the number one prophecy book in America. It rose to the number 94 spot out of 8 million books on Amazon and got me on programs like Fox and Friends, The Glenn Beck Show, The Ben Shapiro Show, and hundreds of other radio and TV shows. And I think it's mainly because it just struck a nerve. Well, today we're living in those days as well. And we've updated the book now, republished it. I've added two new chapters to it and added a bunch of new content in the back. I want you to get a copy of As It Was in the Days of Noah. It'll not only open your eyes to what's going on in the world around you as the Bible predicts, but also equip you in how you can walk in these difficult times. Pick up a copy of As It Was in the Days of Noah.